You know, the audible could have been, Pastor Greg, could you come up here and lead us in a song? Wonderful Grace of Jesus. No. I get it, Matt. I get it. You did great. And thank you guys for leading us. Well, that gives me a little time to actually, they're going to be upset by this, but I want to introduce or at least point out a couple that is here this morning from New Jersey. So that's okay. They're okay. They lived in Iowa for a while. But this couple, by the way, if you don't like High Point Church, it's their fault. Because they are the ones who discipled us, who pointed us to Jesus, who began to minister to my wife, and then ultimately to myself through a Bible study. Doug and Lee Cottings, who just have been a huge blessing now for, 23 years. We look the same, don't we? I'm so thankful for you and the ministry that you have. I don't think High Point Church would exist without the work that you put into me and Laura and continue to put in. And so, yeah, thank you. Well, hey, you guys, you gotta praise the Lord. Let's just end right there. So last week was Easter service, and it is the culmination, really, of the Christian life, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so it is a great celebration. Everyone dresses up. The crowds are bigger, and people like me who were Christmas and Easter only kind of people, they come to church on that day because it really is the most important celebration that we have, that Jesus is alive. But I got to thinking after that service, actually months before, as far as a series that we could get to before we get to Genesis, which we have been going through for the last 3 years. We'll bring that back and conclude Genesis at the end of May here. But I thought a series of Jesus's 40 days that he spent from his resurrection would be a great encouragement. It's been a great encouragement to me as I've studied the passages of Jesus being here for those 40 days. And I thought it would be a good series for us for the month of, end of April into May. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says that Luke writes, he presented himself, that is Jesus, alive, praise the Lord. And to them, meaning his disciples, after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about these appearings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, he appeared to Cephas, that is Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, and though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, his brother, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. So I want to put up a little timeline. There are several examples throughout scriptures of the very appearing on the very resurrection day, that is the third day from his death on the cross. There are several of those. We'll talk about one of them this morning and another one next week. There are a couple opportunities 3 days later that Jesus met with disciples. And then over the next few weeks, we'll walk through a couple of those opportunities that he met with his disciples. Such a great truth that Jesus walked with these disciples, thus giving them the very mission to go on, that Jesus not only died, but he rose from the dead, declaring the victory that we all need, which is over our sin, Satan, and death. And so this morning, I want to go to a passage right after the resurrection that we talked about last week, and that's found in Luke chapter 24. So read along with me, starting in verse 13. It says, that very day, two of them, meaning his disciples, were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" What a sense of humor. And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things had happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow to heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now spent.' And so he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did our hearts not burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them, and they gathered together saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed. And he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." So it's Sunday afternoon. All of the Lord's followers have been through a horrible weekend. This Jesus they had believed was the Messiah who would restore everything, he's dead. The Jewish rulers, Pilate, Herod, executed Jesus as a criminal. They yelled insults. They scourged him. He endured Calvary. They watched him die. Their hearts were lost and hopeless. The women said they've seen. The angels say Jesus is alive. They claim the tomb's empty. Nothing is going according to their plans. And so it's late in the day, and two of the disciples, Cleopas and his companion, they're walking home. These guys are discouraged. They have doubts in their faith. Things are just confusing. And they're talking sadly about the events that had just taken place, and a stranger overtakes them and joins their conversation. I'm so thankful that our Lord and Savior drew near to them during this time. These two disciples, not unlike any of us, can struggle in our faith. I noticed a few things of their struggles, and I just want to point out a couple things. Number one, they just lacked understanding. They thought they knew what was going to happen. You know, we make plans. They didn't understand why Jesus, who they thought was the Messiah, was dying on a cross. A lot of why questions in their faith walk. 18 through 20, you kind of see it. Didn't you know what happened? We thought this man Jesus was the Messiah, and he's been delivered up from the very religious leaders. It was confusing to them. And oftentimes our walk with Jesus can be confusing. But the other thing I noticed, which is even more concerning as a disciple of Christ, and I've been there, but they lacked hope. Look at, again, verses 21 through 24. It says, We had hoped that he was the one. Nothing was going to help them. How are they going to get out of this depression if their circumstance doesn't change? The one they loved died. So they thought. A lack of understanding, a lack of hope, will always result in a lack of a trusting faith. Jesus aims to meet us there in the time of our need. So the resurrected Jesus has something for them, and he has something for us. And so I want us to consider three things this morning. Number one, to help us understand, he gave us the Word of God. You saw it in the passages. Look at again at verses 25 through 27 and verse 32. It says, "And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow to heart to believe, to trust all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And then verse 32, "They said to each other, did our hearts not burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" When you do a Bible study, when you have personal devotions with God in his word, you get to know this Savior who wants to draw close to you. The Bible study Jesus gave them the answers that they needed. The word pointed to them to not their plans, but God's plans, not ours. Jesus probably started by recounting the prophecy given in the very first book of our Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, the very first gospel presentation after Adam and Eve had sinned. In Genesis 3:15, it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman," and this is speaking of Satan, "and between your offspring and hers, Jesus will crush his head, and you will strike his heel, Satan, as he steps on you." I got to imagine he pointed to them that he is that fulfillment of Scripture. I'm sure Jesus showed parallels between what he had just done earlier that week in the Passover. In Exodus chapter 12, it says, Moses declared that, "Go at once and select animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. He will see the blood on top," in other words, the the angel that will pass over the children, the firstborn child. He will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame, and he will pass over. Jesus, by the way, linked himself to this very passage. In 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, Christ is our Passover lamb. I got to imagine he read through the Psalms, like Psalm 22 in a messianic psalm, where the psalmist declares that the Messiah will say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Later in that same psalm, we read, people would shake their heads in scorn because of the piercing of his hands and his feet. 700 years before Christ would die on the cross for our sins, Isaiah, I imagine Jesus took him to one of these prophets, Isaiah chapter 7. It clearly states that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and he will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And then later on in Isaiah 53, Jesus would scroll through these. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, for the Messiah was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. He may have even recounted the very triumphal entry that we talked about a couple weeks ago on Palm Sunday. In Zechariah 9:9, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal of a donkey. This had to have been the best Bible study ever. By the way, this is always the purpose of Bible study. To get to know the character of God. To get to know Jesus. To love him. To follow him. 23 years ago, Doug and Lee did a Bible study with us. And you want to hear the coincidence of this? It was a Bible study called The Stranger on the Road to Emmaus. They didn't know I was preaching on this. This Bible study was the first study we went through because, guess what? They could have said to me, hey, turn to the Gospel of Paul, and I would have tried to look for it. By the way, there is no Gospel of Paul, just in case. This Bible study, The Stranger on the Road to Emmaus, it took us through the scriptures like Jesus did and showed us how it all points to the redemption plan that God has for us, or those of us who put our faith and trust in him for the forgiveness of our sins. Going through God's word with them, it developed an excitement for the Bible. I pray that never leaves. It started a passion to know him. And like I said, you can blame them because this Bible study led to where I went to seminary. I wanted to know more. Now, I happened to be doing this very Bible study with Ben, who gave his testimony of his salvation just a few weeks ago. We're going through the same book. When we are struggling, like the disciples, Cleopas and his companion, when we are struggling, the Word of God guides us back to Jesus. We don't always know the whys. But what the word does is lead us to trust him. To help us. To understand God gave us his word. Next, I see not only to help us, he gave us the word, to help us understand, he gave us the word, but to help us, he gave us hope. Or I'm sorry, to help us have hope, he gave us fellowship. Look at verses 28 through 30. Again, so they drew near the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. I mean, wasn't Jesus too busy? He's got a lot to do. But he spent time with these struggling disciples. You know, this fellowship that Jesus gives us, that he explains to us, it actually comes twofold. One is with Jesus himself. The other is with any follower of Jesus Christ throughout the world. It's hard doing the Christian life, isn't it? It can be very lonely. Jesus comes alongside these men, he sympathizes with them, and he hangs out with them. He shares bread with them. Jesus, the God-man, had time to fellowship with these guys. He wants to meet with you today. He wants to meet with you tomorrow. He loves you, and he is alive. And so he can fellowship with you. He desires to fellowship with you. This fellowship, by the way, that Jesus describes is achieved now through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus told them that very truth. Just look with me at John chapter 14. Hours before Jesus would go to the cross to die for our sins, he encouraged his disciples with this. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the exact same replica, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Ephesians chapter 1 says that when you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you put your trust in him, you are sealed with this very promised Holy Spirit of God. And so you are never alone. That's great fellowship. No different than the fellowship that Cleopas and his companion had with Jesus as he walked with them and shared the scriptures with them. This truth of fellowship, not only with Jesus, and the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, there is this understanding that there's going to be fellowship now with all believers. With that understanding that we know the truth that he's alive. By the way, this fellowship motivated the church. In Acts chapter 2, we start to see the believers were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. They wanted to be around each other, encouraging each other, pointing each other to Jesus. It was a great encouragement to church planners who would be going to towns where they're like, you know what? There ain't anybody here that's going to know Jesus. And so God's word, Luke writes in Acts chapter 18, verse 10, he says this, for I am with you, this is Jesus' words, and no one will attack you or harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. You can't, I got to imagine that encouraged Paul and the rest of the disciples who were going out planting churches that it was going to be scary. It was going to be discouraging. People were going to chastise them. People were going to persecute them. And yet Jesus says, you keep going because I have people in that city who are going to encourage your socks off because they're going to put their trust in him. This kind of in fellowship with not only God, but the fellowship of other believers continues to give us hope when we're discouraged. I was a brand new believer, and I went on vacation with this family. Me and Laura, and I think at that time we only had two kids. And we went to Disney. Sorry for you other kids. But we were on a bus, and we were on our way to Disney, and we were talking that morning about our devotions and what Jesus has done in our lives. And me and Laura are brand new believers, and, you know, we're just, all the people that were in that, we were all vacationing together. We did devotion together. We got into the Word of God, and we were talking about that on our way to Disney. And there was this couple that was looking at us. And they turned and they said, are you guys Christians? And I think they were from New York. And I was surprised that anybody could be saved from New York. They heard us talk about Jesus. And instantly, we became friends. God got so big for me that day. He wasn't just the God of Iowa. He didn't just save some guy from Iowa. He saves guys from New York. And I came to find out a lot of other places too. I know you're like, duh. But it just made that circle of fellowship so much bigger for me. The Christian walk can be so hard. And Jesus wants us to have a hope of this fellowship, not only with him, but the people who know him. The follower of Jesus, my question, are you unplugging from fellowship? Do you find yourself drifting off into discouragement? If so, it's time to find fellowship again. The road of faith, the road of our life, it can be hard. But you need this accountability, this encouragement that fellowship gives. High Point Church exists to point people to Jesus and to walk in faith together. To help us understand, he gave us the word. To help us have hope, he gave us fellowship. And then lastly, to help our faith grow, he gave us a mission. Look at verses 33 through 35 again. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They're not going home anymore. And they found the 11, those who were with them, and gathered and said, hey, the Lord is risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon, and then they told what had happened on the road. When you come to know Jesus, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, you can't help but share. These guys saw and fellowshiped and had a Bible study, and they couldn't wait to share. Verse 35 says, they turned around and went right back. Paul writes in Philemon, verse 6, he says, I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. When you share what Jesus has done for you, when you are grateful for his death, burial, and resurrection for your sins, when you share your faith, you are expressing a gratitude that you are saved. And that should be something to be celebrating. Share the good news about your faith in the resurrected Jesus because you're so grateful. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you become a missionary. And you are a missionary with a purpose. Paul writes to 2 Corinthians, or writes in the letter 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, listen up, he is a new creation, the old is past, the new has come. And this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. That is, you can be forgiven of your sins through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are his representatives. We are his messengers. We are his ambassadors for Christ. And God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, or on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And that's my call to anyone here that does not know Jesus, this resurrected Jesus. You know, we come here every Sunday to remember the resurrection and get motivated for the week to come. We get a message from God's word to get our minds back on the purpose by which we're here. It's good that we reset on the first day of the week. But then we walk out these doors with a mission, pointing people to Jesus Christ. So you want answers, struggling disciple of Christ? Well, to help you to understand, he gave us his word. Join a Bible study. Give me a call. I'll do a Bible study with you. It's called Stranger on the Road to Emmaus. But it takes us all the way through this. When you have the whys of your faith and the whys and why certain things happened, like Cleopas and his companion, God gives us his word to help us understand that his ways are not always our ways. His thoughts are not always his thoughts. Our thoughts are not always his thoughts. To help us have hope, he gave us fellowship. Listen, fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit is the best fellowship of all time. But you know, the other fellowship, that twofold fellowship with other believers in Christ, that can be hard, can't it? Because we just don't like each other all the time. I'm annoying, I know that. But it's an opportunity to give each other grace. Like Titus chapter 2. Each of us are in a category of our lives. Older men, older women, younger men, younger women. And all of it has a purpose. Whatever category you're in, the purpose is to adorn Christ, to make him attractive. Now, I'm not going to tell you if you're an older man or an older woman. But whatever stage you're in, the purpose is to get with people. All kinds of people, and encourage them, or lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then finally, to help us grow, he gave us a mission. This mission is very clear. The resurrected Jesus, he is alive. His death is, I'm not allergic to anything. His death burial, and resurrection is the gospel, is the good news. It is the foundation of our faith. And it is the very thing we need to share with everybody we know. That is a life with purpose. No matter what job you're going to tomorrow, it really is a mission field. Are you ready? Then finally, to those of you who are here that do not know the resurrected Jesus, I want you to know he died for your sins. He rose on the third day, and that's why we're here. Put your trust in him today. Maybe say something like this: Jesus, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe, I trust that you are God and that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe that you can save me. Come into my life. Is that your prayer? I hope it is. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reminder on the very day that you rose and the time you spent with Cleopas and his companion encourages me today. And my prayer is that it encourage all of us today. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. May our lives reflect that gratitude for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and all God's people said, please stand as we close in one final song.